Right quick, and you can be seated. Man, there's one word that comes to my mind right now: togetherness. Come on, y'all. Yeah. Hey, let me just say right quick, thank you guys. I know it's crowded. I know you're sitting really, really uncomfortably close to somebody that you do not know, and maybe you don't even like them, but thank you for doing so, man. And so we're going to just tell you right quick, not next week, because can I be real though? Can I tell you what's going to happen? There was about this many people in first service too. But here's the deal. Next week is Labor Day, and y'all will ghost us next week. Next week we'll have like 109 and 111. So just so you know, thank you for being uncomfortable. Thank you for coming to serve. But the week after Labor Day, we're going to go back to three services. So we're going to get some more room in here. And so thank you for always coming. So welcome to Bethel. It's cool to be here, man. I was gone last week. Last week was actually my birthday. I turned 42 years old last week. Actually, it was 52. And how about Luke Sprayberry? Didn't he do a great job last Sunday morning, man? We are so proud of him and Betsy and what the Lord's doing in their lives over there at Albany, and it's just really, really cool. And so it's fun to get away, but I'm telling you, I love being here with you guys on Sunday morning. I love coming and hanging out with you guys, and so welcome to Bethel. Bethel is a place, I'm going to take a moment and say this, Bethel is a place where we love to do family church. Can I just tell y'all that? Like, we love families. Our hearts are for husbands and wives and moms and dads, raising up children according to the Word of God. And we do church together. We have a place next door for children 5 and under. And so in case you don't know, just let you know, if your child is 5 and under, they can go next door. And we have some great help and some great people that hang out with them. But if you want to bring your kid to church, man, we want you to bring your kid to church. Because you know what? We go to rodeos with our family. We go to ball games with our family. We go do everything else with our family. So why not do it together as a church? And so in order for us to do it together as a family and church, we got to establish a little bit of order in the house of God. Come on, y'all. Like, I'm just being real with you. I'm just telling you, like, we love your kids. And if you bring your kids to church and your kids cry out in church, do not worry about it and do not come apologize to me. Because the sound of a child crying out in church means there are young moms and dads that are raising their children according to the Bible and bringing them to church. And that is the sound that we welcome and that we celebrate. Now, if your child continues to yell out for 30 to 60 seconds, you as a parent need to know something should go off in your brain. I am not going to distract the people around me from hearing what God might speak to them. You can get up and go outside until your child quits crying. Can I hear a good amen? Can I go ahead and say one more thing? If you are here and your child is under about 10 years old, your child needs to sit with you. Not someone else, not running around in this room, in that room, back and forth over there. We need to teach our children a little bit of reverence when it comes to the house of God. We're cool with drinking coffee and get them a chocolate-covered donut, but make them behave when they come to church. Because if they're over 5, they're fixing to start school. And when they go to school, you know what they have to do? They have to go to the potty before class starts, and they can't get up 16 times in the middle of class going to the bathroom. And if they can't do it in school, they need to not do it in church as well, y'all. We love family church, but it's good to teach our children. Because if we don't teach our children, we'll raise up some children that never understand the reverence of the house of God. And they'll never understand that it may not just be about me, but I don't want to be a distraction to those around me. Everybody with me, can I hear you say a good amen? Let's get to the preaching. How about that? Luke did a great job, and Luke talked to us about our identity, about how our identity should be in Christ Jesus. That because of Christ, that gives us worth, that gives us value. Not because we're a preacher, not because we're a cowboy, not because we're a barber, not because we run our own business. Our value and our worth and our identity is found in being sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And as quick as you can understand that, the quicker you can understand that, the better off you'll be. Luke said we need to identify as children of God. And then Luke challenged us how we should live out that life every day, every moment. Can I just tell you something right now? It's time that Christians start living out their faith on the other 6 days of the week besides the day of Sunday. Living out our faith. Living out our faith, not saying we believe it on Sunday, not waking up on Sunday morning and putting our best Sunday clothes on, not waking up on Sunday morning and putting our mask on and showing up at church and telling everybody how great and blessed and highly favored we are. It's time that when we wake up on Monday morning, we say, I am identified with Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. I don't act the way I used to act. I don't look like the world looks. And on Wednesday and Thursday, when I'm having hell all week, we still walk out our faith and our identity as Christians. It would be a game changer for you and I if we did that. Luke challenged us to find our identity in Christ. Luke challenged us to walk it out daily. And Luke challenged us to answer the call that God has placed on our lives. Can I tell you that if you belong to Jesus Christ, there is a calling that God has placed on your life. Now, here in America, here's what we do. We say, okay, if I'm really called, it means I've got to get on the stage. I have this calling. I have this ministry. And so I must get on the stage, and I must have a microphone, and I must lead a Bible study, and I must have a Facebook page, and I must do all of this. Can I tell you, about 95% of the callings that God puts on mine in your life are not on this stage. They're right where you live every day of your life. Only a few people are going to be called to preach. Only a few people are going to be called to lead worship. But the other 95% of us, we are called to be dads. How many of you know we need to have a resurrection of fatherhood in the United States of America? We need men that say, I may never get on a stage and I may never preach another message, but God has called me to be a father. And fathering my children is important to me, and I will love my kids. I will set a good Christian example before them. I'll show them how to carry out the character of God. Men need to understand they've been called to be husbands and to be fathers. And can I say this to you mamas too? I am so tired. My wife is a stay-home mama. My wife is a homeschool mama. And for years they said, oh, well, she didn't have no career. And oh, she didn't make this kind of money. Can I tell you, she has 2 degrees from college that I just finished paying off a few years ago. She's as smart as any other mama, but she made up in her mind that her calling was to be a stay-at-home mom and to be a Proverbs 31 wife and to be a mother to her children. And I just want to tell you something, mamas, the greatest calling you can have on your life is not a career, but it's being a mama and nurturing your children. There is no greater calling than being a mama. They carry that baby around. Some of you mamas been rubbing cocoa butter on them stretch marks and been trying to hide them for years. Forget about it. Celebrate that, because you birthed something and you gave life to a living being. Celebrate motherhood. Celebrate being a wife. It's a calling. It's a calling to be a... Can I just say this right quick, because we got so many young people in this place. There's a calling on your life, students. There's a calling on your life to go to the college campuses. Can I take a minute and tell you that I believe the college campuses are one of the most dangerous places in America today? Because there's an illiberal agenda, and there are professors that don't believe in the Word of God, and we have Christian colleges that are preaching a bunch of junk that is anti-biblical right now, and young minds are being molded and taken away from the Word of God. Students, you know what? There is a calling on your life to walk on that college campus and not act like you're better than anybody else, but shine the light of Jesus Christ and live your life according to the Word of God. There is a calling on our lives. And we need to answer that call wherever it might be. Luke challenged us. Today we're going to pick up where Luke left off in 1 Peter. Peter's writing this letter to the church. Peter's going to challenge them. We're going to see today. I'm going to go back and talk about living our faith in our daily lives. Look at me. Look. Can I tell you, men of God, women of God? It's more important what you do the other 6 days of the week than what you do on Sunday. How many would agree with me? Doing church is pretty easy, but doing life is a struggle. Doing church is easy, man. Just show up, act like, listen. I mean, we got such a great group of staff. We got great volunteers. We have a great worship team. All you got to do on Sunday is just get your little old butt up a little early and come to church. Get you a donut, an apple fritter, a good cup of Bethel Brew coffee. Come sit in here, listen to some amazing worship, and then, yeah, that's easy. What's tough is making it last throughout the week. And I'm just going to tell you right quick, you know what's wrong with our world? We got Sunday figured out, but the other 6 days of the week, sometimes we suck it up. We forget about all of that stuff. That's what Peter's saying here. He's challenging them. How do I be better throughout the week? How do I be a better example? How do I be a better dad? How do I be a better wife? How? And Peter's going to tell us today, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. Peter says, beloved, like I love you. He says, I urge you to stay away from the passions of your flesh. Peter's talking to the church. He says, I'm telling you, I love you, but you've got to stay away from the passions of your flesh, because the passions of your flesh wage war against your soul. Passions of our flesh. What you need to understand is Peter's a leader. Peter's a powerful leader. Peter preached at Pentecost. Peter is the leader of the church, and he is speaking to the church. And can I tell you right quick, he is not speaking to the church some soft, sensitive, uber-sensitive little message. Peter is getting down to the nut-cutting and the corn-shucking, and he's speaking the truth to the church. And he's saying to the church, I know you come to church on Sunday, but you got to stay away from the passions of your flesh. Peter urges them. I read that word urge, and I was like, what does that mean? Because I don't even use that word. I looked up urge in the dictionary. Urge means this: to push along, to drive with incitement, or to force with vigor. Peter's saying, I'm pushing you, church. Peter is saying to the church, I see more in you. Peter is saying to the church, you can do greater things. God has greater plans for you, but you can't get comfortable, and you can't stay where you've always stayed, and you can't keep doing what you've always done. Peter said, I'm going to push you to greater levels because God has greater things out there for you. How many of you know we need to be pushed? Oh, don't get quiet on me. I'll stay there. I'll stay there all morning long. We need to be pushed. I'm better when somebody pushes me. You're better when somebody pushes you. And we live in this world today. Can we be honest? We live in this world. Nobody wants to be pushed anymore. Just leave me alone. I know what I need. I know what I want. I'm living out my happiness. I am following the passions and the desires of my flesh. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And I want to sleep over here and I want to go over there. Don't push me and tell me that I'm wrong. Just leave me where I'm at. I'm comfortable and I'm happy right where I'm at. And if you push people, you know what they do? They get booty hurt. Come on, somebody. You push people. They get a little upset. They get a little booty hurt. Like my family, the people that I'm closest to, you know what they know about me? Two things they know about me. They know that I love them. And they know I would fight the devil himself. They know I would charge hell with a water gun to fight for them. They know I love them. But you know what else they know? By golly, they know I'm going to push them. My wife knows. Now, I'm just telling you, you got to be careful about pushing your wife, pushing your husband. My kids, I push my kids. I push my kids hard. I don't let my kids take it. The staff, Connor, Cole, I love pushing Cole because Cole gets fired up. He don't take it real good, and that makes me, it fires me up. Steven, pushing them, push the people I'm around, I push them because I'm a leader and because I love them, and I don't want them to get comfortable, and I don't want them to flatline, and I don't want them to stay at the same place. I push them so they will go to greater heights in their life. Push them. We need to be pushed. Let me just give you an example. Maybe this is probably politically incorrect nowadays, but I'm telling you, back in my day, when I was in school, I played sports, and we had coaches that would get in your face. Coach Sandifer, I so wish he was here. I'm calling him out today because he skipped church. He was my coach in high school, and he skipped church today. And the day that I'm going to call him out and talk about him and make fun of him, he does not show up to church. It's like, I don't know. But anyway, he would get in your face. He would say, you can run faster than that. You bump through that hole. You can make that three-pointer. He got in my face and yelled and pushed me, and he made me a better athlete. Were people that had coaches. But then back in my day, there were people that were in the band. Band directors just talked a little bit different than coaches did. They were sweet. They were, oh, come on, babe. Pucker your lips a little bit more and blow a little bit harder into that thing. If you're offended, I'm sorry. It's okay. I wish I played an instrument now. But the point I'm trying, and you know what I'm trying to say. The point is, in this world we live in right now, we don't need any more band directors trying to speak sweet. And so we need some coaches that will get in the face of fathers. We need some coaches that will get in the face of some mothers. We need some coaches that will get in the face of their children and say, you were created for more. You are not of this world. You are born again. God has great things for you. We need to push everybody around us so that we'll all be better. We need to be pushed. Because here's the deal. Sometimes when somebody pushes us, it hurts. Anybody ever say anything like speak rugged, hard, sharp truth to you and it cuts you a little bit? See, here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 27:6. You should write that one down. Proverbs 27:6 says this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we need to be wounded with the truth of the Word of God. Cut just a little bit. Like, that hurts. Like, you're getting on me. Like I get it. We need, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Listen, I don't want a friend that will buy into my sin and buy into my stupid lifestyle and help me justify what I'm doing wrong. I need a real friend that will come and speak truth to me. And even though it may cut me, it will help me heal and be better in the end. Peter's pushing them. Peter says, you got to say no to the passions of your flesh. Let's talk about that word no. Everybody say that with me. Say no. Some of you have never been told no. And you know, we need to be told no once in a while. Like, I know you don't like it. I wish every time I asked Jennifer something, she would say yes, but she doesn't. I wish every time when I was growing up, when I asked my parents, my mom for something, that she would say yes, but she said no. And you know what? Looking back, I'm glad that I learned to accept the answer no. Because we live in a culture right now where nobody wants to be told no. No to anything. No, you can't be told no. If you want to see what happens to a people group that never gets told no, look at America today. They never were told no to sexual sin. They were never told no to living out their feelings. They were never told no to you can't eat this, so we're totally obese. They were never told no, you can't watch this on TV. We live in a world where no one was ever told no, and at the moment they get told no, they totally lose their crap and lose their mind. We have to learn to be told no. No, sometimes. It's this battle. It rages on this flesh. How many would agree with me? I'm a Christian, but I still struggle with these passions of my flesh. I still struggle, and I have got to learn to say no to my anger, no to my addictions, no to my emotions, no to my hormones, no to the way that my parents were, no to the way everybody, this government says we have to learn to say no to our flesh. It's this struggle, y'all. It's a battle. If we have our identity in Christ and we're walking out this calling of God, the enemy is going to fight against you and me to keep us from living the life God wants us to live. And the enemy will throw temptations out there, and it all starts with our flesh. This battle rages on forever. You can never quit fighting. When I read the Word of God, there was this man named Noah. Y'all remember Noah? He built the ark. He saved mankind as you and I know it. He was one in a million. He was this great man. But at the end of his
boat journey, and at the end of the ark, he let down his guard, and he gave way to the temptations of his flesh. He got drunk, and he brought shame upon his entire family. The enemy kept fighting him at 100 and something years old. There was another man named Moses. The Bible said he was the greatest leader of the Old Testament, and he got mad and angry and lost his temper with God, and he never got to see the promised land because he gave way to the passions of his flesh. There's a man named David who took out a stone and a sling, and he killed this giant, and he was a man after God's own heart, but he let down his guard, and he saw his neighbor's wife naked, and he had an affair with her. Judas was handpicked by Jesus, one of the number 12 people, and you know what? He gave in to the greed and the desires and the passions of the flesh destroyed the work of God in all of those people's lives. And God will, it will destroy the work of God in mine and your life if we give way to the passions of our flesh. Have you seen the number of men and women that have fallen from the ministry here over the last few years? I'm not chucking stones at them. I'm not shaming them. But there's some men in Texas, been in the ministry 50 years, credible, good reputation, honored God, and they've fallen in the later years. Listen, you and I cannot quit fighting the passions of our flesh. And I hope that you understand, and I hope that the Holy Spirit will illuminate it in your life, because there's a culture in the Christian church in America where we say this: I can go to church and I can believe in God, but I can continue to dabble in the sins of my flesh. I can continue to drink in the closet. I can continue to sleep with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I can live together with them and justify all these things. We can justify homosexuality. We can justify it all, and we think that it doesn't affect our walk with Christ, and it doesn't affect the relationships with people around us. If you are here and you really believe that you are trying to live for God but can continue to dabble in the passions of the flesh, you are only showing your spiritual immaturity. Because little by little, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and every one of the passions of our flesh affects our life. And I tell you that because I love you. I've been serving Jesus for 25 years. I still struggle with my flesh. And how many know the enemy can make that old lifestyle look really, really good when it's not going good right here? Let me remind you of something. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you and I, we were dead in the trespasses of our sin, because the wages of sin are death. Remember when you were dead in your sins? Verse 2 says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, among whom we all once lived out the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and our mind, and we by nature were children of wrath. Let me tell you something. I know your past is washed in the blood, but how many of you know we need to remember how miserable it was over there? Can I tell you something? If living out the passions and the desires of your flesh, if drinking it up, sleeping it up, screwing it up, living this kind of life was so good, let me ask you something. Why did you come over here to Christianity looking for something different? It was not as good as the enemy can make it. We were dead and it did not bring life, and we came to Jesus and we got to make up our mind, I'm not going back over there, because the desires of our flesh are horrible. Couple more scriptures. Romans 8, 6 through 9. Romans 8, 6 through 9. For to set our mind on the flesh, to set our mind on the money, on the home, on the sex, on the drugs, on the party, and to set our mind on the things of the flesh, big businesses, to set our mind on all these things of the world, to set our mind on the flesh is death. But to set our mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God. But if we're born again, we are not living in the flesh, we're living in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, sometimes we just need to be reminded we're people of the Spirit. We're not people of the flesh. I want to read you one more scripture before we close today. Galatians 5:16. You say, okay, Cody, I got it. I'm going to identify myself as Christ. I'm going to answer this call, and I'm going to refuse to give in to the desires of my flesh. But what are some of those desires? Let's talk about it for a minute. Galatians 5:16-21. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your marriage. Let the Holy Spirit guide your parenting. Let the Holy Spirit guide your business. Let the Holy Spirit guide your daily decisions. Then, if you do so, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Our sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Watch this, verse number 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Here's sinful desires. Here's fleshly desires. Sexual immorality. Let's talk about sex. Because sex drives our world. Can I tell you something, parents? You better talk to kids about sex. Is it uncomfortable? Is it awkward? Yep, probably so. Like, I had the sex talks with my boys, and Jennifer couldn't be in the same room with them for 3 weeks after I talked to them and told them what was going on. You better talk to kids about sex, because their friends are talking about sex, and I'm going to tell you what, right here, this phone, you better know what your kids are watching on this dadgum phone. Pornography is crazy out there, and pornography is just the entryway to a life of sexual immorality. Cody, what is sexual immorality? Sexual immorality, I don't care what culture says. I don't care what the education system says. Sexual immorality is any kind of sex outside the confines of biblical marriage between one man and one woman. I don't care if it's same sex, opposite sex, premarital sex, shacked up sex. Sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman is sexual immorality. It's destroying our world. Pornography is opening the door to that right there. Can I tell y'all something? You know what? There's a group called the Barna Group, and they do statistics. And that, you know what the Barna Group says? Very credible. You know what the Barna Group says? 7 out of 10 men that go to church regularly on a Sunday morning struggle with pornography. Now, I know that makes us uncomfortable, quite, but that means 7 out of 10 men in this room struggle with pornography on this phone. You know what else is crazy? 5 out of 10 women struggle with pornography on that right there. If men and women that are grown, that are going to church, are struggling with it, promise you your kids can struggle with it. Sexual immorality is killing our country. Impurity, lustful pleasures. We live in a world which is lustful. I lust after money. I lust after food. I lust after alcohol. I lust after attention. I lust after clothes. That's just never being told no to anything. It will destroy. It's warring against your soul. Idolatry. Idolatry is not just bowing down to a totem pole. Idolatry is worshiping anything and everything above God. Hostility, quarreling, let's talk about quarreling. You ever know anybody, they just want to fight about everything? Come on, somebody. Just fight about everything. They want to quarrel. Jealousy, outbursts of anger. You know anybody that just loses their crap? Come on, somebody. Over the littlest things and just jump, has a fit? It's the desires of your flesh. It's because you're angry and you're upset. You just burst out and let everybody around you have it. Selfish ambitions. We live in the most selfish time ever. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what makes me feel good. It's about what tickles me in my heart. It's about what feeds my emotions. It's about what feeds my flesh. We live in this selfish, y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, all these things, they kill the life inside of you. And they kill the life of everything around you. Peter said, I'm talking to you as a church because I love you. And if your booty hurt, just be booty hurt. And if you're cut, just be cut, because thank God you got a pastor that'll tell it like it is to you. These lustful passions and desires we have, we've got to deal with them, y'all. Here's what I want to say. Conrad, y'all come help me close. Here's what I want to say, because some of you are already sitting out there today, and you're already going, well, I have these lustful pleasures. I have these addictions. I have this mentality. I have this anger problem. And you're already saying in your mind, I just can't get over them because that's the way my daddy was, and it's the way my granddaddy was, and I'm the same way. You're already saying, Cody, you don't understand how much I got hurt. And you're already making excuses to continue to live and fulfill the lust of your flesh. Can I tell you something? The lust of the flesh are overcomable. And they are defeatable. You can overcome them. Peter urged his sheep. Peter pushed them. Much like Peter the pastor did then, I'm urging you and I'm pushing you today. You know what one of my prayers this week has been? That some people get cut this week. That the truth hurts. But how many know, if we know the truth will set us free. I pray that today there would be a shift in your thinking. I pray that there would be an eternal change in your life. I pray that today you would not expect God's best while continuing to live out your selfish passions of your flesh. It's a lie from hell. It don't work. And I'm going to tell you straight up, there's no easy button. It's not easy breaking bad habits. It's not easy. When you've done something this way for so long, when you've thought this way for so long, it's not easy. And you've been in this relationship for so long, and you know this relationship is not right, and you know it's not honoring God, but it's just too hard to get out of it, so you just decide to stay. It's not easy, but if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you can overcome the obstacles, and you can overcome the bondage and the shackles, and you can be set free and live in the best of God's blessings. You got to change your mindset. It's not easy. How about this? It's not easy admitting that I'm living a life of bondage. It's not easy to go, I'm in bondage to, like, I can't quit watching pornography. I can't quit those pills that I've been taking for so long. I can't quit that alcohol. I can't quit. It's not easy to admit you've been in bondage and you're living a life of bondage. It's not easy. It's hard, but it's very doable. Christ will set you free. Christ can set you free. You know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? The Bible says the yoke of bondage will be destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So some of you, can I be really, really real with y'all? I'm going to pray for you in a minute. And I believe by faith, there's some folk going to get set free from their chains and set free from their bondages today. I believe it, not because of me, but because of Him. God wants to set you free and lead you down a path that leads to life and life more abundantly. And some of you are going to get set free today. Woo! But you know what's else going to happen? Probably a lot of you are going to get set free today. And by the time the week's over, you'll choose to go back into the bondage that you just got set free from once again. And I don't say that being negative, but I say that to push you and to urge you. And I say that to tell you, you got to suck it up, sis. You got to suck it up, big boy, because we can pray for you and the power of God can set you free. But then you got to every day choose to walk in the Holy Spirit and continue to say no until Jesus calls you home. I want you to know something today. You are chosen. By God, your identity is in Him, and there is a calling on your life. And you live out your calling, it'll change everything. Be pushed today. Listen to the message that the Lord spoke to us today. Listen to the Holy Spirit right now. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go, because we're doing two services, we have a little bit extra time. And we're going back to three, so our time's not going to be that way in a couple of weeks. We're going to go a little bit old school on you today. Because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of laying on hands. Laying on hands is scripture. It's when a leader would pray for someone else. Just put his hand on them and pray for them, and that agreement in prayer right there would break chains and break yokes of bondage. We believe in the power of prayer. So today what we're going to do, I'm fixing to ask you to stand on your feet. And I know it's crowded, and I know it's awkward, and I know it's the queerest setup in the world, but anyway, you just got to overcome it. Because I'm going to ask you today, if you're here and you know your sinful desires and your sinful flesh are wearing you out, but you say, I need just a little something to get me over the hump, I'm going to invite you to, however you can work it out, come by this way right here and walk by this stage. I'm going to turn my mic off. Nobody can hear me when I'm praying. Worship team's going to be singing. And I'm just going to lay my hand on you, and we're going to believe for something supernatural and for something miraculous to take place, because we're being obedient to Scripture, and that God is going to set you free in that moment. He's going to deliver you. You're going to have forgiveness come over your life from 60, 70 years ago. You're going to forgive your father. You're going to forgive your mother. You're going to forgive your ex-spouse. You're going to forgive. You're going to be set free. The addictions are going to be gone. You're going to be hungry for God and for nothing else. We just believe God's going to do something in that moment of surrender. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. We got them out in the hall out there. You're welcome to come out in the hall. But I ask you, Holy Spirit, to begin to move on the hearts of men and women, that we would overcome the desires of our flesh, and we would only do it through your anointing and through your power. Speak to your sons and daughters in this place. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So make your way down, worship the Lord how you feel led. Right here, I'll pray for you if you need it.
Surrendering.